Come on, get in. I want to take you somewhere. I want to take you to a secret location. It's the vault where the David Nelson Band keeps their most prized possessions. I've got the key, and we've just put in our own transmitter. End of the pavement. Up the gravel road. Nice out here tonight. Park over here out of the way. Okay, let's go. Your step now.
Light bulb. You need a light bulb.
Let me throw on a couple of switches here. Now just get inside the chamber.
Honey, we don't want that building, honey.
Cosmic transformation. Engage.
Houston, we have a problem.
I've tripped and I can't get down.
Here they come to save the day.
The David Nelson Band.
The David Nelson Band.
Straddling a retro rocket psychedelic painted moon
and touching down on the center line of your mind.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a fireball full of freaks.
It's the David Nelson Band.
Radio DNB is on the air.
Was a mighty man, but now he's resting in the promised land. The kind of music he could understand was an eight-wheel driver under his command. They made the main train boogie all the time. He made the main train boogie as he rode down the line. He made the main train boogie all the time. He made the main train boogie as he rode down the line.
You see it to the promised land, I hope you see. I'm gonna make this ride to the boogie beat. They made the main train boogie all the time. He made the main train boogie as he rolled down the line. He made the main train boogie all the time. He made the main train boogie as he rolled down the line. Started ringing the bell,
Everybody hung around to tell Casey Jones was coming to town on a 6-8 wheeler that was burning the ground. He made the main train boogie all the time. He made the freight train boogie as he rolled down the line. He made the freight train boogie all the time. He made the freight train boogie as he rolled down the line.
Greetings and welcome to the very first installment of Radio DNB. I'm your host and publicist for the band, Gary Franklin. The cut we just started out with was Freight Train Boogie, and that's from DNB's Mexicali Blues, recorded April 30th of 2004, and part of the Soundboard series available at the shows. Hope everyone is doing well out there. Well, what you can expect here at Radio DNB is a brand new program about every 10 days. So it looks like about three times a month we'll be bringing you interviews, music, and a whole lot of fun, and also some weirdness we have in mind as well. So let's get going. There's a big treat for us on this show. As we all know, Barry Sless has been playing with Phil and friends quite a bit lately. So I gave Barry a call and asked him about last December's Warfield shows.
Well, thanks a lot for talking with us this afternoon, Barry. Really appreciate it. My pleasure, Gary. Happy to be here.
Been playing a lot with a lot of different folks recently. You've been a busy guy last December and even last Mardi Gras. You had the pleasure of playing with Phil and friends. Quite an honor and a lot of fun all at the same time.
It was a pleasure and an honor and a lot of fun.
I bet. An amazing array of people gracing the stage, including yourself. Do you have any idea how Phil always manages, it seems like, to pick the perfect crew of people to play a set of shows? I mean, it's pretty amazing, and it changes quite frequently. Do you have any idea how he goes about that process?
I really don't specifically. I know he goes out and he sees a lot of music locally. I know he had gone to see the group Particle sometime before the December dates and chose to use the keyboard player Steve Mullis from Particle. I know there was one night in San Francisco when Railroad Earth was playing and the Rowan Brothers were opening up. They had asked me to be on that gig, but I had another gig that night and couldn't do it. And Lauren told me the next day that Phil had showed up at the gig. So I kind of thought maybe he was checking those guys out for something. As it turns out, he did use a couple of those guys. And other than that, I think he kind of works on a cosmic level.
Whatever level he does work on, I tell you, it certainly produces some incredible shows. Like the December shows, those were theme-based shows, which I think is pretty interesting. What were the three themes? Can you remember? It's been a while now.
Yeah, it has been. As I recall, it was based around the Tarot, and the first night was based on the Fool card. Second night was the Death card, and third night was the Wheel card. And each night, I think the songs that he chose sort of reflected and tied in one way or another with the particular theme for the evening. And I just thought he did a really good job of putting the sequences together of tunes. And it was all, a lot of thought was put into it.
You know, when you think of a series of three shows, you know, running back to back like that, with those kind of themes involved, I've really never heard anything like it almost anywhere.
Yeah, there was some really nice touches, really great song selections, I thought. And one thing that was of particular interest was the Death Night. We did a version of Imagine that was a very dark, minor key, totally different version than the Lennon version. And it was just very dark. It never went to the chorus. The next night, it was sort of like the tension part, and the release of it was the next night where he did the Lennon version in a major key and did the chorus. And it was just a nice touch. And like I said, a lot of thought seemed like was put into those sets and a lot of energy.
Did you have to learn a lot of music, and do you find out all the set lists ahead of time, and how does that whole process work?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of music. It was upwards of 60 songs that I had to learn. He sent out the music sometime in advance, so I had time to sort of learn the tunes and just get somewhat comfortable with them. And then the band went in the week of the gigs, and we had 4 days of rehearsal in which to learn three nights of music, some of it which was quite complex. It was a challenge. It was a great challenge. It was, you know, I think it paid off, and it really brought all of us together in the band. I mean, there's a bunch of people who had never played together before.
It must have been very exciting while you were doing that process of putting the whole thing together. It must have been, you know, from a musician standpoint, kind of the ultimate thing going on there.
It was. As musicians, that's what we want to do is play and work and hone our craft and everything, so it was an opportunity to do all that. And I felt like it brought us all of the players in the band, kind of closer and sort of bonded over putting in all that sweat together and really helped out when it got to the show. It felt like we were a team going in there.
It's quite a bit of music to learn in a fairly short amount of time, especially after you gather as a group. 4 days is pretty tight.
Yeah, when you think about it, you know, a lot of the big bands or something will have like one set that they're working on for like 1 hour show or an hour and a half show that they'll rehearse weeks to get exactly right for the one set that they go out and do. And 3 long nights worth of music to learn and 4 days to get it right.
Wow. Wow. Well, I think the final result of all that work demonstrates the prowess of the people who were on the stage those nights. So
I hope so.
Well, I think that's a big yes from everyone who's heard the music from those nights or saw the concerts in person. As a musician, are there quite a bit of differences, or can you describe any differences between playing with other folks, specifically Phil and Friends, and then playing with David Nelson Band?
I think we're all sort of after the same thing, and you know, come to it from a little bit of a different angle. Nelson Band, because of the players involved, and Nelson in particular, may come from a little more of a roots Americana kind of a base. You know, I think we're all after the same end result, which is adventure and spontaneity. You know, I gotta hand it to Phil. He really gives all of the musicians a lot of room. He's a great band leader. Really encourages everybody to get their own musical voice in. Gives it space for everything to really develop organically, you know, for everybody to get a chance to express themselves in their own specific way. And with Nelson Band as well, there's plenty of musical freedom. Everybody gets a chance to express themselves there as well. The Phil thing is maybe a little more wide open. I mean, you never know with all of the different players, and plus all of us not yet really being totally familiar with each other.
Uh-huh.
So many different directions that it could go in.
And didn't you have something like 13 people on stage at one time?
At one point, I can't remember which. It might have been both shows, Warfield and Mardi Gras. I think at one point I counted 13 people on stage.
Yeah.
But, you know, with all those different inputs and everybody kind of having a say in what direction things go in, It's wide open. There are so many different places it can go, and Phil is really open to letting it go wherever it goes. I mean, he's open to the adventure and new ways of doing things, and it's totally spontaneous. And like I said, there's that same thing exists in the Nelson Band, but with just the five of us that know each other and, you know, been playing together for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I mean, that's not predictable either, so I don't want it to sound like that.
You understand what directions other folks in the Nelson Band might go to.
Playing together for 11 years, and, you know, it's still an adventure.
Yeah, and you and Mookie have been playing together since how many years now? High school days, right?
No, we don't go back that far. Charlie and I go back to high school.
Oh, right, okay.
Mookie and I met each other in late 80s, early 90s. Well, so to get back to your original question, which I may have strayed from, there are a lot of similarities. The Phil thing is, it's on a larger level, so we're playing for a lot more people, so there's that energy factor in there. When it comes down to it, there's, like I said, we're sort of all after the same thing and headed for the same place, and just the adventure and the spontaneity.
And that's a wonderful thing.
It sure is.
Yeah. Now,
I like it.
Yeah, and so does everyone else, believe me. I heard tell that you had some sort of session with Mickey Hart not too long ago. Can you talk about that?
He's been working on some African drum grooves that he's been compiling over the past, I don't know, 10 or 15 years or so. Many of them are just grooves with a bunch of different percussionists on it and Mickey on it. I think he has some of the people from Planet Drum on there. Some of them have some an African group doing vocals. And he's just experimenting with it. And he's been adding different things throughout the years, and he wanted to see what it would sound like putting some pedal steel and some guitar on him. So I just went up there one day, and it was wide open. It was a very casual thing, and he just sort of wanted to turn me loose and let me go with pretty much no restrictions. It didn't matter what key I played in, or whether it was major or minor, or both within the same segment. It was just pretty wide open. The only thing he was encouraging me to do is just to get in the zone.
That must have been a lot of fun.
It was great. It was he was great to work with. His energy is infectious, and he's very animated. And it was great. It was a great experience working with him.
I've had the pleasure of meeting the gentleman before, and he does have great energy. And even when I interviewed him years ago now, he said he's just always working on some sort of music or tweaking something, or just kind of always has his head right there.
Yeah, right now I think he's on the road with Particle, which Steve Mullis has been playing keys in Phil's band. That's his band, which is kind of an electronica jam band. And apparently Mickey has joined up with them for a tour, and they're calling it Hydra. And I have to get out and see them. I miss them when they were in the Bay Area, but hopefully they'll come back. I'm sure that's very interesting.
So was he going to take, is he going to compile all this for a record, or is it just something he's playing with?
He wasn't sure what he was going to do with it. He was telling me that it's not for a record, so just to feel free and do anything and don't feel restricted or, don't worry about everything being perfect. He just wanted to see where it would go. And who knows, at some point some of it may wind up possibly in a different form on a record or maybe not. He wasn't sure at that point in time what was going to happen with it.
I heard something about you and Lucasfilms, but I don't really know anything about it. Can you tell me what that was all about?
Yeah, I got a call one day about doing a session up there, just going in and doing sound effects for a future motion picture release. I just went up. The coolest thing about it was that I didn't have to tune any of my guitars. Because all I had to do was make sound effects. They weren't looking for actual musical notes or anything. They wanted, like, feedback and scrapes and drones and just, you know, kind of science fiction type sound.
So no tuning for you. And now I've seen you, the intensity with which you tune the pedal steel, especially before a show, that must have saved you quite a bit of time.
Right. That was great, because usually if I'm going to do a recording session, before we can go, I mean, I get real meticulous about tuning everything and getting it exactly right so it's in tune for the recording. It's time-consuming.
Yeah.
So it was great to just be able to go and set up, pull my pedal steel out of the case, and I didn't even get my tuner out of the case. So, yeah, it was very cool. We just set up in the theater there. They had something else going on the sound stage, and we just set up in the theater, and they brought a little mobile recording unit and stuck a mic in front of my amp. The producer of this session, which I think since has actually won a Grammy.
Oh, wow.
For sound mixing on, I think it was for The Incredibles. He was the producer, and he was just telling me the kind of things that he wanted, giving me general ideas. Let me know the type of things that, you know, I would sit there and play, and he would say, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. Do more of that, or keep doing that, hold that note for a long time. You know, I'd do something else, and, you know, make go, well, that sounds too musical. That's not what we're looking for. But that last thing, you know, that's the type of stuff we can get a lot of use out of. So that was pretty cool. You know, when the movie comes out, I'm sure they'll tell me more about it, but I was told that I may not even recognize the stuff that I played, because once they get a hold of it and process it, they're going to totally change it.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that must have been a lot of fun as well, in yet another totally different way.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unique. It was the first session I've had of that nature. I'd like to do more of that. That was very
Perry
cool.
Perry Sless talking with me there about the December Phil and Friends Warfield shows. You'll be able to hear lots more from all the band members right here on Radio DNB as the days go by. So make sure you check in to nelsonband.com and check in often. All right, I'm in the mood for some more music. So here they are from Mexicali Blues, recorded April 30th, 2004, the David Nelson Band.
Thank you. suitcase is packed, my trunk already gone. Oh, tell me, baby, what the world's you waiting on? This line of Delta run right by my door. Sliding Delta run right by my door. Just like a man, she'll steal your baby every time she lands. This line Delta run right by my door. Sliding Delta run right by my door. This line Delta run right by my door. Sliding Delta run right by my door.
Sun must be kicking up a heavy magnetic storm somewhere. It's really wreaking havoc with my reception. Well, not much you can do. Just kick back, have a hot coffee, and party to the songs of the universe.
Here's a song that John Dawson of the New Riders of the Purple Sage wrote about 30 years ago, and it's still timely. quite as green, green as it used to be. Hey, look at the cool, clear water. It ain't quite as cool, clear as it ought to be. And we live in the Garden of Eden, yeah. Don't know why we want to tear the whole thing to the ground. We live in the Garden of Eden, yeah. Don't know why we want to tear the whole thing down. Forget that we're just people, and we're falling head over heels, cause we all forget quite how to feel. We live in the Garden of Eden, yeah. Don't know why we wanna tear the whole thing to the ground. Don't know why we wanna tear the whole. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
The David Nelson Band. And brought to you right here on Radio DNB. I'm Gary Franklin, and that's about all the time we have. So, I'll see you back here next time. Until then, peace.
So, which one do I choose? Love or crime?
Well, you gotta weigh that for yourself. I mean, look at the pluses and minuses. Crime, the pluses. Stacks free, it's a kick in the pants. You make your own hours, you meet new and interesting people. On the minus side, no medical plan, no job security, early burnout. Most crooks I know are like NFL linemen at 30, man. They're either crippled, retired, or dead.
What about love?
You've seen the minuses.
Turn into a total dork. What about the pluses?
It's irrelevant. No. Love is. Period.
This has been Radio DNB show number 1.